Well, as we're progressing alphabetically through the book, the next subject is discipline. Oh my, self-discipline. Should have warned you about that before you came here, but very, very important subject. And of course, these books that we've used, the last couple of them, are written by ladies, so please realize I would not bring up these subjects were it not for it's in the book, okay? But it's very handy that it's in the book, so... But it talks about how she gets irritated with her husband, who is physically fit, trim, and everything else, you know, and she reacts to that. You can see it in the first part there. But she says, well, it's not just his metabolism. He does run or walk 1 hour a day, exercises with weights. I know this is going to be a hard session this morning, but anyway, her point is that it is anything like that, okay, there is the important aspect of discipline in our life. And remember, what is the whole thesis of our study? It's living like Christ lived and the different elements of his life. But the exciting thing about Christ's life is that that is now our life. So everything we're talking about is not just this unreachable goal, but it is actually the inheritance that we have because of what he did, and we can see it happen in our lives. That's the exciting thing for all of us. And she talks about the fact that obviously, it's not just those things, but gossip, erratic emotions, tardiness, and other areas that require discipline. That is the overall perspective here. And it is true that discipline is a spiritual matter, because when we get saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He is in us. And let me say this. This is important. Some of the concepts that you'll hear is, well, there's the old man and the new man, and they're sort of like with equal power, and it's whoever you feed the most that's going to win. Not a good concept. I got good news for you. The old man's dead if you're saved. You are a new creation. Isn't that good news? We're created in righteousness and true holiness. However, you are still living in your body of sin. Your spirit is indwelt by the all-powerful Spirit of God. And our spirit, under his power, can control our body completely, regularly. But it still has the sin principle in it, the body of sin. So therefore, our mind, will, and emotions are either controlled by the Spirit of God or by this principle of sin. But the principle of sin is no match for God when God is in control. So victory is our potential all the time. So it's very important that we understand that. So self-discipline is not just a human thing. It is a spiritual reality to have victory over the body of sin and to keep ourselves under for the glory of God. And it's wonderful that we can have that, that potential there. Well, the most disciplined person in the world was whom? The Lord Jesus. And that's the whole point here. And so she looks at the example of the Lord Jesus. He was in complete control of his emotions, every aspect of his life. He did not have sin, and therefore he had perfect control. He never allowed his mouth, emotions, or physical needs to get the best of him. And so he is a wonderful example. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, what is the last part of the fruit of the Spirit? Temperance. What does that mean? Self-control. You know, it's on the tail end, and sometimes we forget about it being down there. Now, remember, you notice I said part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is not the fruits of the Spirit. When you are spirit controlled, all of those things are happening. So if you're not joyful, If you don't have a meek spirit, uh-oh. If you're not walking by faith, what does that tell you? I'm not controlled by the Spirit. It's an all or nothing matter. So if I don't have self-control in a certain area during that time, I'm not exercising self-control, what does that tell me? I'm not controlled by the Spirit. Now that's a very important thing for us to understand. It's not just like your human self-help books that tell you how to be this absolutely perfect person, you know, and so it's all this willpower. And I tell you what, people that are lost can have a lot of willpower. They can accomplish a lot of things. I admire an Olympic athlete. I mean, for them to get the gold is a pretty incredible journey of self-discipline. But can a lost person win the gold medal? Most of the time they are, okay. So self-discipline is not equal to godliness, but godliness always has self-discipline, okay. And it's not by our power, it's by the Lord's power. So temperance is like the Lord Jesus to control, curb, restrain fleshly behaviors. To control, master, curb, restrain certain fleshly behaviors. All right, let's look at the Lord. The Lord Jesus was truly human, and we need to remember that the power that he had while on earth, though he had the innate power himself, his spirit is God, was all by the Spirit of the living God. And so the very power that Jesus had, we have. Now we have a sinful flesh, he did not, but we can have that victory. And so Jesus was our second Adam. He is the one that represents us. He sent his spirit. He was relentlessly tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not relent. And the same Spirit of God can enable us. If you'll read there in Luke chapter 3 and 4, the Spirit of God came upon Jesus and led him into the wilderness. So the Spirit of God was the secret for the tremendous victory of self-control that Jesus had during that time. And so Jesus did not yield to the devil's attempts to get him to stop trusting God for his needs. Now here's the point I want you to get, and I'm so glad she gave this point, because it's so tempting on self-discipline to talk about, we got to be like Jesus, we got to do it, come on, I mean, pull up your bootstraps and work hard to be self-disciplined. Well, ever try to pull up your bootstraps? You fall on your face, you think about it. I don't know where that expression came from, but anyway, boink. And that's what happens all the time. People try to do things in their own effort and they end up on their face. No, you look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that will enable us. We have a high priest that was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And so when we see the key, folks, to self-discipline is total yieldedness to the Lord. You know, folks, it's not worth it to hold on to something. You know, if you've got a grudge against somebody, get it settled. Too much is at stake. If you've got a little petty sin that you're for some reason indulging in, you know you shouldn't be watching that TV program. Give it up, okay? There's too much at stake. I mean, you can have personal victory all the time on a regular basis if you will yield to the Holy Spirit. This is what, as a pastor, you just want your people to just experience the delights of walking with God, and you see them hold on to something and you think, you know, they're just missing out on everything from whatever they think is so important. Be right with God, because the Spirit of God will give you victory. And so we can look to the Lord and can have great victory. Now, she emphasizes rightly so the need for the solitary place. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, if you would. Mark chapter 1. And here we see the Lord in the midst of a very busy schedule, spending time with His Father. Now, ladies, I think the schedule of a woman is probably one of the most difficult schedules to be able to have that solitary place, but it is very important. And she admits that the greatest attack on self-control and discipline is on the area of being disciplined with your time with the Lord. Now, I just made the statement that earlier that temperance can only come if you're what? Spirit-filled, okay? And that if you have something that you're holding on to, you are not spirit-filled, so therefore, are you going to have trouble with discipline? Absolutely. Now, how are you going to be able to continually keep your soul free, walk with God, know you're filled with the Spirit? You have got to spend extended time with God. I mean, there is no way around it. And so she's transparent here about the struggle on that, and that this spiritual discipline is the key to all spiritual disciplines. And so in Mark chapter 1, you will find the Lord very busy, starting in verse 21, went to Capernaum, taught in the synagogue, he cast out a demon, they got all upset with him and so forth, and he goes and he's healing people. He goes to Simon's wife's mother. By the way, Peter did have a wife, okay, just for theological aspects of the, he was not the first pope. Okay, that was free. It's right there, so. And he came and took her up and so forth. And then verse 32, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast up many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Now let's stop right there. Is that a fairly busy schedule? I mean, intense schedule. Plus, it was a spiritual battle. I mean, casting out demons and so forth. I mean, this was real, and he was seeing the suffering of people. Remember, Jesus was as human as we are, and he responded to people. So, I mean, what wears me out almost more than physical exercise are emotional distresses, trying to help folks when they're in deep trouble, or you're with them when you have a tragedy. I mean, you're wiped out. I mean, you have had a good night's sleep, but man, I'm telling you, you're bone tired. Well, that's what the Lord was at. But I want you to notice verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. This was a secret, and it's our secret. Ladies, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. The more busy you are, and you've heard this many times, the more prayer you need. Every one of us need the discipline of resting our soul in the Lord, fellowshipping with Him, and getting to a place we know that we're right with God, and what God will then do is empower us to have self-discipline. If you want to develop discipline in the other areas of your life, you know you need to exercise, you know, you need to discipline other areas of your life. You really need to start with that walk with the Lord. And I am so thankful she put that in here because this is the key to the Lord's life. He never missed an appointment. He never hurried, and he was never slow. He was right where he was supposed to be at the right time and accomplished everything. You know, every morning, I will go over this. I literally do it. This morning, I went over the fact of Jesus being totally dependent upon the Spirit, and that Jesus had rest in his soul, did everything he was supposed to do, and he did it in a measured and very effective way. And I always say, now, Lord, I want to do everything that I'm supposed to do, not in a frantic way. I don't want to be too slow or too fast. In other words, I want to be right on schedule. And you know, God does that for you. That's, I do suggest that prayer to you. Meditate on the Lord, because I found that to be a great help to me to think about how God will direct. You know, you can do everything that's the will of God. What's our little statement when we talk about time management? Always enough time to do the will of God. The problem is there's not enough time to do our will and His will. And that's where the problems come. But there's always enough time to do the will of God. And then, of course, once he was finished, verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. So here he was, busy up until he went to sleep, got up early, spent the time with the Lord, and then busy again, boom. I mean, but that time with the Lord made everything else possible. So disciplined life is a spiritual matter, and it's got to come with the first self-discipline, and what is that? Time alone with God. Ladies, I cannot tell you how important it is. When you spend an hour a day with God, you connect from one day to the next day to the next day. When the inevitable pressures come, you're okay. And I always look forward to when I know I'm facing something, I just can't wait till I can spend that time with the Lord. Everything gets settled. It's not talking about some magical feeling. I'm just saying you think right. And you know you've met with the Lord, and it just, I mean, every day is, you have a continuum, day after day, 7 days a week. And I tell you, if you're going to give up anything, don't give up your time with the Lord. I'll guarantee you, some of the things that cause you not to be self-disciplined are the very things that are keeping you from your time with God. You don't need them. You ought to look at your life and what are some of the little escapes and what are the little things that you do, especially in the area of technology today. That's a killer. And honestly, trade in entertainment for Jesus. I can't tell you how important that is. And trade in getting too involved in social media for Christ. You will find that that's a great trade-off. And you'll do a whole lot better with the people that you're connecting with by having real connections with them. But get connected with the Lord. I'm being straightforward about this because I tell you, this is it. In today's pressured world, you have got to spend time with God. You've got to. If Jesus had to and he was God, boy, I need to, right? I'm preaching a little bit here. I'm getting out of teaching on purpose. I'll just let you know. I feel passionate about this. You all can have a quality life. You can have a wonderful, the depth of peace of God if you will take time with Him. All right. She has a nice long section, so this is very legitimate to the chapter here. And I appreciated her emphasis. That was very good. And a couple of things that she mentions about this that... To have the time with the Lord, you need a desire to have it. And then you need to have a disciplined time to do it. And it's so true. You do what you really want to do. Right? We do what we really want to do. And if our hearts will get more and more in tune with the Lord, we're really going to want to spend time with the Lord. And it was so important. He wanted to spend time with his Father. And one saying that she quotes is, prayer is the key of the morning and the bolt of the night. Use the reliable key of prayer to start your day with the Father and put yourself on His path and close your day in the same way and lie down in peace and safety to sleep. And it is true. First things you think about in the morning are the Lord. Last things you think about are the Lord. Really, it's wonderful to as you're lying down even, your final thoughts be prayer. The whole then continues all the way around. And the Spirit of God will enable you to do that. Now, she mentions, if you'll turn quickly with me, I think we have time to go to Luke chapter 9. Interesting event in the life of Christ with two of his disciples, brothers, James and John. And we'll look at verse 53. They went to a village of the Samaritans, and they would not receive them. And verse 53, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. We think of self-discipline a lot in the matter of what we eat, exercise, schedule throughout a day, keeping in order what we do in our life. But a lot of it is this right here. In fact, what does James chapter 3 said? A man that can control his tongue is a perfect, mature man. A great evidence of being spirit-filled is temperance when it comes to the tongue. And so James and John were upset. They were furious that this Samaritan village would not help them. And they said, let's just call down fire. And I don't know whether they did it or not, but they were upset. And Jesus said, that is out of line. And he rebuked them. And the question is, are we self-controlled when the inevitable rebuffs and negative things happen? You know, a real test of where you are spiritually is when somebody offends you. Somebody stops you from doing something you want to do. Somebody says something negatively about you and you found out. I'm telling you, you realize right there where you are spiritually. And if you are right with God, God gives you great calmness, puts it in perspective, gives you a love for that person, and you have self-control. And, you know, gossip and anger, and I mean, these destroy families. An uncontrolled tongue destroys relationships. Self-discipline here has to come from God, but is very important. I'm glad that she dealt with this also, because this is something, it's the same thing. You spend time with the Lord, you get his heart, you are self-controlled in a number of other areas of your life, you get to where there's an emotional confrontation, you still have self-control. And I'm telling you, it's like apples of gold. When you're able to say the right thing and not the wrong thing, and you're able to be able to have the right attitude, and God gets in control of you, bad situations can turn to very helpful and maybe progress you to moving forward. And so that is very, very important. I want to end, I'm going to jump over to the list that she has at the end of the chapter that I think is very helpful and very simple. Let me just give them to you. Things to remember about discipline. Number one, discipline, and I've said it over and over, but discipline is a spiritual issue. Don't start with willpower. Remember, I talked about the fact that, yes, we no longer as a believer have the old man. We are a new creature, a new man, but we still have the body of sin. So our mind, will, and emotions are either controlled by the Spirit or by our flesh. Can you have fleshly willpower? Well, the world does it all the time. And frankly, a lot of Christians have decent character, which is good, but it's self-dependence. And that's why in the important areas, they don't have the self-discipline. Because it's spiritual. That's why a person who might exercise every day, because that's what they've done all their life, never gets time with the Lord. That's a spiritual discipline, okay? And so things that are really important. By the way, the more you allow the Spirit of God to give you power to be consistent, that becomes character. And that's, I've seen Christians who had very little character when they became saved become transformed as they yield to the miraculous work of the Spirit of God in their life, and they became very disciplined Christians. A very undisciplined drug addict got saved when he was 16 or 17 years of age on the streets of Philly. Began to grow in the Lord and realized his mind had been so messed up, he was challenged to memorize the Word of God. He memorized Genesis through Revelation. I don't know of hardly anybody that's ever done that. He did that for several years, along with disciplining himself by the power of God on a number of other things, And he was able to go into the ministry and ended up with a 4.0 in college. And yet his mind was just about blown out through drugs. I mean, that's what God can do. That's the transforming work of the Lord. It's an amazing thing. But it is a spiritual issue. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. And then, as we said, discipline number two is affected by disobedience. See, those little foxes will spoil the vine of Spirit-empowered living. And so a little thing that's, you know, that you ought to just get right about, we get embarrassed or whatever, we don't get right about it, and don't let God give us victory, and then that causes us not to be Spirit-filled, and therefore we do not have then the disciplines that we need. Think about day after day of things you wish you would do and you don't do it. Well, that really could go back to another area where you really aren't walking in the Spirit as you should be. Thirdly, discipline is an act of the will. Now, you can have a fleshly will, but you still have to have a will. And if you're going to walk by faith, faith is an exercising of the will. You had to choose to trust Christ to be saved. You've got to choose to trust God in every area of decision you need to make. And so you do have to, as the Spirit of God convicts you and convinces you at that moment, you've got to take the step of faith. That's why I'm saying, when we say no to God over here, do you think we're going to say yes to God over here? No. That's why we need to have that extended time with the Lord every day, get thoroughly right with God. God impresses us. I want you to get this area of your life under control. You take the step of faith, and guess what will happen? The power of God. Power of God, the grace of God. But you have to exercise your will. And then she gives us discipline involves the whole woman. If I was preaching everybody, the whole man, your emotions, your mouth. In other words, you can have your emotions controlled by the Spirit of God. You can make a decision not to sink into depression. You can make a decision not to sink into self-pity or jealousy or anger or revenge. Those are our choices. Now, we may have those feelings for a while, but we can have the victory and not live that way. Your mouth, you can have control over the tongue. You can always edify. You can. That's what God will do. Your eating, put a knife to your throat. She quotes here, if you're given to appetite. She wrote that, remember. I'm reading what she's put here, so I'm moving on. And your diligence, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. All right. Well, a lot of good stuff there that is in this chapter. But what's the real key? Walk with the Lord. Do you think the Spirit of God is perfectly disciplined? Yeah, and I think about that often. He knows exactly what I should do, and He's able to enable me to do it. So it's not this great willpower, it's faith willpower in a God that will do a miracle. So I do want you to talk about, do we have slips on this today? Okay, and follow that, and encourage one another, because, you know, some testimonies of transformation of certain areas of character can be a real encouragement, because aren't we all, think about things that God's done for us. We aren't the same people we used to be, and yet we all need to grow too. And the big thing too is a matter of spending time with Him. All right.